everyone, welcome to Polygon Warriors, and this week I give a breakdown of Red Dead Redemption's biggest DLC, Red Dead Undead Nightmare. If you like anything you hear, make sure you leave a like, follow, subscribe on anywhere you're listening, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, wherever, and make sure you follow the Facebook page, Polygon Warriors, and the Facebook group, The Spoilerverse. Thank you, and enjoy.
Red Dead Undead Nightmare, one of the DLCs for Red Dead Redemption 1, released October 26, 2010 for the United States and Europe. They released on the same day. It was developed by Rockstar San Diego and Rockstar North, and it follows, obviously, just like Red Dead Redemption, the same open world Western game. It was also rated M for the same reasons, and it released all the same way on the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360 first. Then it was re-released in the Game of the Year edition. Then it was also remastered and re-released. Well, I wouldn't say remastered. It was backwards compatible for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Xbox One X, and on the PC. And it sold 2 million copies, which is a fair amount for a DLC, if I say so. Rockstar wanted to basically get on the same, you know, train as everybody else during, like, the early 2010s and late 2000s. Everything needs a zombie. Call of Duty had zombies. Zombie movies were taking over theaters. Every other game seemed to be zombies. Rockstar. Dead Rising. Left 4 Dead. I'm sure there's more. I can't think of any off the top of my head. But everybody was making zombies because why not? It was the biggest thing at the time. So here's where Undead Nightmare comes from. And Rockstar's idea behind it was we wanted to put zombies in an open world where everybody's familiar with the map and familiar with the world. And, you know, kind of tie it all together and make it make sense. The idea became, Rockstar saw similarities between Western movies and zombie horror movies. It was, the idea and how they described it was, it's similar to a 1970s set. During the day, it's the Western movie, but at night, it's the zombie movie. Which, you know, they kind of, you know, they nailed it on the head with Red Dead Redemption being the daytime and Undead Nightmare being the nighttime, which very, very well portrayed. It's kind of a spinoff. I'm not going to say it's in the main actual canon story. It's more of a, you know, what if kind of off the rails kind of thing, which the story in and of itself is intriguing. Granted, it's very loosely tied together. It's very intriguing. I enjoyed it because it added new things that not many other zombie games added at the time. Like, you know, they had holy water, they added a torch, they added all kinds of new things to the game. They added, you know, mystical beings. There's a side mission, I can't remember what it's called, but you basically hunt Bigfoot. You track down and you hunt down like six other Sasquatches, and then you get to the seventh one and he's like crying like, you've killed my kind. Then there's a legendary hunt in the Chupacabra. They added as special, what's the word I'm looking for, special rides that are like the four horses of the apocalypse: famine, pestilence, war, and death. Which each horse, like, you know, pestilence has a horde of locusts behind it, and famine is a skinny horse, and war, you know, has flames on it, and death is, like, a very black horse. And then they have a wild horse, which you can catch, is called the unicorn, and obviously it runs really fast and has a rainbow coming out of it. It added an increased difficulty to the base game, which, if you got the Game of the Year edition, it kind of, it plays, but at that time you had to download it and basically restart the game. It added zombie hordes, which are really cool. So say you're in Armadillo, I'm just going to use Armadillo, and there's a zombie horde there. You have to fight five waves of zombies, survive, and then the town's safe for the time being. They do get invaded again. And hordes is pretty much the only consistent way to get ammo. Ammo is very scarce and is very hard to find. So basically you have to either kill zombies, loot them, kill people and loot them, or find chests while doing, you know, hordes and fighting off the hordes, which kind of ties into the saving towns. You know, you fight off the hordes and whatnot. The story is basically the spoiler-free version of the story is this unknown curse has taken over the Western Front, and John Marston must figure it out and reverse it back, because why not? That's the story. It's about I want to say 4 missions long, 5 missions long, but the wait time in between are insane. You can't just do mission 1, mission 2, mission 3, mission 4. You have to do mission 1, wait like 3 in-game days, mission 2, wait like 6 in-game days. It's really long and complicated. Well, not complicated, but there's a lot of waiting in between, and I'm not a huge fan of that. That's about the only thing I'll dock from this DLC. Adds weapons, like I said, the torch, holy water. I'm sure it adds more, but those are the only two that come to the top of my mind. But now into the spoiler story, which 3, 2, 1 spoilers for a DLC that's 10 years old. You wake up, you know, well, you don't wake up. Uncle comes into your room is when John and Abigail are sleeping, and he attacks you. So you kind of shoot him, put him down, and then Abigail and Jack get infected. So John ties them in the bed, and he goes and tries to figure it out. So you know, throughout the story, you find out that a totem was taken from a tomb in Mexico. And you go down to Mexico and you place it all back, you know, fixing the curse and ending the quote-unquote nightmare. But you also, at the end, like the post-game for the DLC, not post-game for the actual game, which again is spoilers for the main game, you play as Zombie John, which is pretty cool because everybody wanted John back after the end of the game, which, you know, it makes sense. They kind of retcon that. So if you wanted to play as John,
you know, you can now be a console player and compete with PC gamers. And that's huge with their now cross-platforming with all Windows games. You know, in the next generation, if you get a game on your Xbox Series X, you're going to be able to play that game with somebody who has it on the PC. Kind of important that you have an even, you know, playing field, and the ability to use a keyboard and mouse is huge.
Yeah, you're not wrong. The one thing I despise, which I don't know if it still does this, I have my original Xbox One X controller. You know that little attachment you have to buy to plug in a headset at the bottom of the controller?
That was annoying.
That was one thing I don't understand why that was a thing and something you couldn't just put on a controller.
And they do now. I mean, well, they don't have the attachment, but they now just have the